Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Sean Desai is now in Vancouver and has officially quit the show.
What is going on with him?
I don't know. He's quit.
Is he? I mean, if he's taking maternity leave, that's cool.
No.
He just didn't tell us he was when he had the kid.
He's in Vancouver with Kevin Lee doing some sort of Bellator stuff.
So
maybe he will be back on the show. To be honest with you, I'm not actually sure because there was the paternity leave he took for a little bit. Then he took a 2-week vacation. Now he's in Vancouver.
Wait, he took a vacation?
Yeah, he took his new daughter Ava out to San Diego for a couple weeks to meet the family. All that stuff is cool.
I guess
cool.
That's fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. But then now he's in Vancouver. So
does he have Nick Diaz's travel agent?
Well, no,
he can't find his way back to the show.
At this point, I find him to be the Dominic Cruz of the show. So he is no longer a host until he's ready to defend his hosting ship.
Are we going to have an interim co-host?
Yes, it is. My pleasure to announce that Henan Barrow will be the next co-host of Way of the Warrior.
Welcome, Henan, to the show.
Brought to you by the Fight Fans Radio Network and part of the iHeartRadio Talk platform. Brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and the folks at Onnit at onnit.com. Make sure you check out their new Dolce chocolate product, which is very cool if you haven't tried it.
That Alpha Brain stuff is kind of crazy.
I told you, it's awesome, right?
Man, you ever take that before bed?
Yeah. Well,
have those crazy dreams?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't do it a lot because, yeah, you go on crazy dreams. It's much, much better when you need to focus as opposed to the dreams.
That's a real thing, though. I mean, you can tell me I'm focused more, but I have some weird dreams now. Thank you. Onnit and Alpha Labs.
Exactly. So a lot of stuff going on this week, although some of it is essentially, at this point, outside of the ring. BJ Penn has a return. We will talk about that in a little bit. GSP, we are proud to bring back this week in GSP. There's a lot of stuff going on with GSP. We'll talk about that. But we start with the big news this week, which is Canelo Alvarez and Mayweather. The fight is tomorrow night. It is big, 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 big stuff in the world of boxing.
Oh, are we going to do boxing versus MMA?
Sure, why not? We will start there because this has a lot of interesting subtext. One is, in my opinion, as a casual boxing fan, this is, to me, one of the last big fights at this point until there's some bigger stars built up that there are some interest in. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm. No, I think you're right on all those counts.
So if Mayweather wins this fight, logic would dictate we would start to have the retirement conversations. However, you very astutely pointed out that he needs to finish the Showtime contract in order to hit that record, which is what?
Oh, to get to 50-0.
50-0.
I think if you do the numbers and you check the fights left, I think it will get him directly to 50-0. When he finishes that Showtime contract. So I think that's why he's got the deal he does have. This you've mentioned before, and we're never sure what's going to happen. We're never sure if he's still not negotiating for that Pacquiao fight later. He said no 100 times, but that's what you say when you're negotiating for a fight. But we don't know what fights are to come, but I think this may be the last big fight we see from Floyd Money Mayweather, where we expect the opponent to have a reasonable chance to win, where we expect going in that there's a chance that Floyd could reasonably lose. I'm not saying he wouldn't lose later in his career.
Sure.
Take an opponent lightly, a guy stronger than we thought he was. But this is the fight a lot of people think, hey, you know what? He's fighting a guy who's undefeated, a younger dude. A lot of discussion whether he's been coddled in his career, whether that's a manager's record, so to speak. The manager set up that record for him to be, what, 42-0, 45-0?
Right.
Wherever Canelo Alvarez is. It's one of the last fights where I think you can conceivably have a discussion with somebody who knows boxing a lot better than you or I probably know, and they will tell you the ways that Canelo could win. Most of the guys still aren't picking him to win, but they're saying these are the ways he could win, and he's got a reasonable shot if he does this, this, and this. You can't always say that about an opponent for Floyd Mayweather.
You cannot. And Jason Prinzo, who is a big fan of the show, talks a lot about with us on Twitter as fight nights are here, has put it, this, and I've had a couple other people kind of echo these sentiments in that the first three rounds are going to be the most telling. And after that, if Floyd is still in control after the first three rounds, chances are he's going to run away with the horses and just outpoint him until the end of the fight.
Yeah, this isn't going to be a knockout for Floyd Mayweather, I think, if he ends up winning the fight. This is going to be a typical Floyd Mayweather fight. His dad's back in camp with him, and his dad didn't like that he was taking so many punches in a lot of those fights before his most recent one. He said he was getting hit too much, and Floyd said, you know, I had pride show up in some of those fights. People kept saying I couldn't get hit, I couldn't take a hit, and he took some hits, and he realized he's a businessman ultimately. That's bad for business if he ends up getting caught and ends up getting flash knockout.
Yes.
If he goes down and he loses that record that he's got where he's 44-0 right now, then he loses a lot of bargaining power.
Ask Anderson Silva.
Yes, exactly. Anderson had losses, though, and he still lost a lot of bargaining power. Imagine if Anderson Silva had been undefeated as a whole going into that fight.
Sure.
Wow, there's a lot of shine off of that.
There's a ton of shine.
If you lose. He realized that, went into the fight with Robert Guerrero. I don't think Guerrero landed enough punches to count on my fingers and toes that were clean in that fight.
Right, yeah.
I really don't. And it was the old Floyd Money Mayweather that we saw in that fight against Guerrero. Maybe a couple of fights before that. Obviously, we saw the Victor Ortiz fight up close. He got a knockout there, but that was that weird
yes.
everybody loves to hug
we're
scenario.
Gonna hug and make out, and then I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, that was strange, obviously, for Floyd Mayweather. I mean, people loved it, KO in the fourth. But
strange even for Vegas, which is saying a lot. So.
That was saying a lot there. This is the fight, though, against Canelo Alvarez. I think a lot of people wanted to see, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how everybody reacts after this fight. I mean, depending a lot on who wins is going to be the reaction. Are we going to see Floyd kind of go through some of these fights and just go for that record? And I'm actually doing the math now. He may be at 49-0 after the showtime.
Ooh, boy.
What kind of bargaining position is that?
Wow, that last fight. And can you imagine you make that last fight with Pacquiao?
Wow, there you go.
I mean, you want my $70? I will give you $70 for that. My final fight will be against. You wanted to see.
You want to see 50-0?
Here we go.
I'm gonna check. I'm gonna have to check the details on that Showtime deal, but I've got him at 49-0 if he wins all the fights on that deal.
And what's fascinating is if it wasn't the beginning of this week, it was the end of last week. There was an article on Deadspin about Floyd's bank account.
Oh yeah. What was it? He keeps it all in one account.
And it was only $123 million.
Why does he only have $123 million? He's one of the most decorated and
highly paid prize fighters
in history. Should he have more? Is that just me?
That's when. And it was funny because,
I mean, I'd be cool with $123 million.
Yes, but what? And I don't. This is not me saying this is fact, but using the math that was presented in this article, and then sending it out in the world, if there is no other money in Floyd's universe, we'll just say, we'll start the argument there. So essentially, he has $123 million in the bank and is living hand to mouth because he's going to need to use all of that to pay for this weekend to get it back Sunday morning to start all over again.
Right. And I'm sure rent on that mansion we always see on the behind the fight specials has got to be a lot. $41.5 million. He's guaranteed this weekend.
Wow.
Obviously, that's only purse.
Yes.
That's only purse. He owns the arena.
And people forget that essentially when
every hot dog, yeah. he gets a dime off everything, you know, and more than a dime.
Yes, he does. And Canelo works for him, essentially. He's under that umbrella.
Yeah, and Canelo's learned, too, because we've been to some of the pressers for this fight. And not only is there a Golden Boy Promotions and a Mayweather Promotions logo, you see a Canelo Promotions logo.
Yep.
So I think that's great that these guys are learning that. Hey, you know what? If you're a fighter and you're going to put your butt on the line and you can pull it off financially and you've got the clout, own part of your fight.
Sure.
Own what you're doing in there. And that's a great way to get yourself paid, especially in boxing with so many sanctioning bodies and so many different things going on. You've got to really look out for yourself in this situation.
You've got to look out for yourself. And, Ken, this is not not a sport, much like MMA. You can't really retire in this sport. And by that, I mean you're not getting to 60 years old in this sport. You leave at your prime, which is a young age, and you have to have a plan for the rest of those years. And if you don't, you know, if you're not a guy like George Foreman who's shilling grills and anything else he can get his hands on.
There's a couple of spots. There's announcing.
Yeah.
But
you have to have that in place, and the best way to start that is to start a promotions company.
Right. That's the best way to do it because these guys, most of the time, they're training with guys that aren't professional boxers in a way that we would think of a big star. You can go to a gym and Randy Couture is rolling with guys this week.
Yep.
That doesn't happen a lot in boxing. And part of that is the wear and tear that they take as they go through their career. They can't keep doing that in the way they did it. So It's very interesting to see. You have to wonder if MMA is going to go that way. I know that I think even Dana White was asked by, I think it was Dan Raphael at ESPN, if we'd ever see a $41.5 million payday for an MMA fighter.
Right.
Dana responded, not directly, but he said he'd love to see boxing kill it like this, and he hopes that Mayweather breaks a pay-per-view record this weekend. I think he really does root for fight sports.
He loves boxing. He'll be the first to tell you that he loves boxing.
As much as a lot of people want to pit MMA versus boxing, it's really a fight audience. And that's not Dana's competition anymore. If you see big fights and they start running month to month and they really start competing for those dollars, that would be competition. Twice a year deal is not really competition for Dana White if that's all boxing has.
And it's so weird that there's no pay-per-view this weekend. There's no fight this weekend.
Nothing. He respects that entirely.
Right.
I think he knows that you don't want to try to split dollars the same night. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's dumb. He would never do that. He knows that.
And it's the same reason that if you look at fight sports as a whole, and I would include WWE in that argument when you're talking about pay-per-view models, that they all essentially stay out of each other's way.
I would even argue if you're going to talk about dollars, I mean, Dana's probably got more invested in trying to get some of those dollars from Vince than he does any boxing match that's going to happen. And all reports are he and Vince are close. He's modeled that pay-per-view section of the UFC after what they've done.
Which is no different than Vince modeling it after his father's model, who modeled it after, you know, Barnum and Bailey. You know, there's all variations on one way to do it. These one promotions model. So that is going to be Saturday night. Keep an eye on Twitter because it will, when this fight ends, however it ends, it will explode. But you had an interesting quote that you wanted to
talk. Oh, yeah. Everybody's talking about fighting this week, and we're going to go back to boxing versus MMA because
awesome.
We love it.
Yes, we do.
They were talking to WBA welterweight champion Adrian Broner. And if you don't know Adrian Broner, he's the guy who likes to think he's Floyd Mayweather Jr. You see him fight, he's not. They asked him about combat sports in general. His quote was, "I'm really not too big on MMA. I really don't look at it as a real sport because anybody can come into MMA and learn that. You can learn that," Broner said. "Listen, you can't just come into boxing and be a world champion. You've got to be born with it." End quote. Thanks to our friends at BloodyElbow.com for covering that. What do you think? Anybody can do it.
I don't believe in that part. I certainly believe the latter part of the statement has some truth to it. You have to be born with that skill. And even if you're born with that skill.
Only as a boxer?
No. In either of these sports.
But that's what he said. Only as a boxer.
Which he is false. Because I would say that if you got into a gym right now, you, Ken Evans, and started to train with Sean to do jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
If your body didn't get it, you could do jiu-jitsu just as you could punch a bag.
But you
probably wouldn't be amazing at it. So when you look at a guy like BJ Penn, who we'll talk about in the next segment, BJ Penn was born with the ability to do jiu-jitsu and then added all of these other skills, the wrestling and the punching, to make his repertoire, make his way in MMA. And then as he got older, those skills kind of got rusty and he had a bit of a skid.
Well, there's something else he said too, and he said this directly to the interviewer. So basically, guy off the street.
Sure.
"Right now, you can go into MMA, learn all the submission moves, and be a world champion. It doesn't matter how long it takes. I don't give an F what you do. You can't try to come over to boxing, and you won't ever be a world champion. I'm not disrespecting you, but I'm just saying that's how it works." End quote. I don't care if I go into a gym today and live there for a year. I am not going to be a UFC world champion.
No.
That's ridiculous, that statement.
That statement is ridiculous, and it parodies another ridiculous statement, which is my problem overall with boxing. And some of my problem with the criticism to Anderson not being able to lose in order to maintain his legacy. And that is, in boxing, as we talked about in the beginning of this segment, Floyd's trying to go for 50-0. This is a sport that you cannot succeed in if you lose. And that's a really interesting way to build a sport.
Well, and then you end up with guys like Adrian Broner with these egos that are hard to contain. And I don't know if anybody can, because you're an undefeated guy and you're massaged and you're managed to get to that point, or else you will probably not be a success in this sport. I mean, every time boxing has a big fight, it's got to be undefeated guy against another undefeated guy for a lot of people to pay attention. And is that really fair? No, I don't think so.
Well, think of any other sport. I mean, if the Lions, they're current record, even though they won the first game of the season, their current record over the last 3 years is losing. Mm-hmm. If the NFL was boxing, they'd be kicked out of the league.
Yeah, that's an example. I mean, I like to go back to the Anderson Silva one, though, too, because most people don't realize that Anderson lost in his career, but he still had a chance
twice,
to work his
right?
way up. Three times now, right?
Yeah, well, three times now.
But it's a situation where I think Adrian Broner's obviously taking it very far, and he wants to be the next Floyd Money Mayweather. I don't know if that's the case. So he's going to make these outlandish statements where somebody can go and train and be an MMA world champion within a year. There's a lot of guys that are amazing. They're not world champions. Vitor Belfort is not a world champion right now.
No.
Probably one of the most, and he was, but he's not right now. There's a lot of guys coming in that are gifted.
And you don't.
Who's the guy in the tough house that just been shellacked? Killed everybody in the house.
Uriah Hall.
I put his name out of my head.
Yeah.
Because I told you I'm not paying attention to those
right.
guys anymore. Uriah Hall killed everybody in that house. Looked like a world beater. You and Sean were in here falling all over yourselves.
Uh-huh. Because it was the way they edited it, way they make it look, and he gets in the UFC and he's nothing.
He gets in there against world-class fighters, gets under the lights. Adrian Broner obviously being ridiculous, but we'd like to bring that up because it's always fun.
So that fight, Saturday night, Canelo Mayweather. If you're in Grand Rapids, you can, of course, go to Celebration Cinema North. $15 to check that out.
Big screen!
When we come back, BJ Penn is back. We'll tell you what he's doing. It's next on Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, Ken Evans. Sean Desai has quit the show. So we have replaced him with the ghost of Henan Barrow. So the interim co-host till Sean returns.
Welcome, Henan.
Will be Henan Barrow. He doesn't have much to say
today.
He is very quiet, but we will get to him.
All business in the cage, though.
We will get to him later. Speaking of in the cage, a big announcement on Wednesday night as the UFC announced we have two new coaches for TUF.
Okay, the Ultimate Fighter 78.
It would be 19.
I thought they were going to do it in 78 for this guy's age.
BJ Penn makes his return to coach against Jersey's own Frankie Edgar.
There you go. All right.
So, yes, exactly.
Good thing Sean's not here. He'd be having a heart attack.
He would be having. I'm actually glad we replaced him with Silent Henan Barrow. So, I was excited as well because, number one, hot off the iPhone announcement earlier this week where you knew everything before the announcement, so there really wasn't much surprise. It's nice to see that the UFC can still surprise you. I didn't see this coming, and I read a lot of stuff. And so there's that. You were able to surprise me. This is interesting. I think it'll be fun. But do we really want to watch a trilogy where Frankie Edgar beat him twice already?
Oh, why you got to bring in logic? I just want to see these guys in the house.
All right, fine. Never mind.
Are there any women in this house? That's all I
want
to know.
Music?
We can be done with this segment. We can just wrap this up. I want to see what I. You know what? As strange as it is, and as much as I make fun of the Ultimate Fighter, I would really like to see what kind of coach BJ Penn looks like. I think it'd be very interesting to see how he coaches in this. I feel like we know what Frankie Edgar's going to look like. It's going to be very workmanlike. He's going to go in there and he's going to run takedown drills all day, and he's going to push the pace. He's going to make sure cardio's good. I want to see what BJ Penn does. Is he going to come in and say aloha and just kind of chill? Is he going to push these guys? Who's he going to bring with him? Are they going to push him back to the point where we're going to see what we always call the BJ Penn of old?
Well, and funny you say that, because this whole thing comes about when Dana White says he booked this after Penn kept calling him and saying, look, man, I know I've been away, but I've got this burning desire to beat Frankie Edgar. He says, quote, I can beat Frankie. The first two fights were BS. I want that fight again.
Wait, they were BS?
I want to beat this guy so bad. It's all I want.
Why does he think they were BS? Those were pretty dominant decisions.
Certainly the second one was pretty dominant, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the first one, I mean, he actually, did he finish him? No, he didn't finish him in
that
fight.
No, they were both unanimous decisions.
I see where he's coming from. If I'm BJ Penn, I want that fight. If you're Frankie Edgar, do you want that fight? Because the only guys you really lost to are champions.
Well,
you lose to BJ Penn, you're out of any title picture. Lightweight, flyweight, bantamweight, whatever weight you want to be at, Frankie Edgar. You lose one fight to a guy you've beaten twice, and you're out of the title picture probably for the rest of your career. I can't see him working his way back up.
Probably, but let me ask you two questions. Number one, a key piece of information that I failed to let you know, this will happen at not 155, but 145.
145.
So it will be where Frankie has been naturally for a minute. And the other thing
has
is...
Has BJ ever been there? I don't even remember. We'd have to look back, obviously, before UFC for him to have fought that low. I mean, that would be back years and years ago.
I don't think he's ever been that
low. I mean, the guy's been fighting since 2001, so it wouldn't be out of the question that at some point
he was at
145. But I mean,
at one point he fought at heavyweight, so...
That is true. Forgot about that. Yeah, so we'll have to look that up and see if this is BJ's first time at this weight. But it doesn't matter where they fight. I mean, Frankie Edgar loses to BJ Penn. That's a tough one.
Prior to this fight, though, Ken, what else do you do with Edgar?
I don't know what you do with him. I don't know if he's still one of those guys you put back immediately into the title hunt, but I like this fight. I'm just saying if I'm Frankie's manager, I don't know if I like it a whole lot. And as dominant as those fights were with Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn, it's tough to beat a guy three times. You're asking him to beat a guy three times.
It is tough to beat him three times.
And this is BJ Penn, and he's going to be at a lighter weight. And Frankie's been there once.
Twice. He lost to Jose Aldo, beat Charles
Oliveira.
Oh, that's
Oliveira. Right. I forgot he fought Jose Aldo at that weight. I don't like this fight. If I'm Frankie Edgar, I'm going to love to watch this fight as a fan.
And filming starts mid-November, and you will see this, obviously, next year. But we have our next tough coaches. And interesting, Ken, you have said a lot that the UFC, either intentionally or unintentionally, needs to create this ether, so to speak, of all of these fighters that we love to see that may not necessarily have a place in the pecking order. And by that, I mean the BJ Penns of the world, the Rich Franklins, if he continues to fight.
I think you can put Frankie Edgar in there right now. You made a great point. What do we do with him?
And Frankie Edgar joins that, you know, and probably unnecessarily so because he lost the champ, then won the fight immediately
right
after. So, but at this point, yeah, you lose to BJ Penn. I don't know what we do with you because BJ Penn's been away for a minute. You beat him two other times. I don't know.
What weight did BJ fight Rory McDonald at? Was that 170?
I believe that was 170.
So he's going to be essentially dropping down two weight classes. And one of those is one of the big 15-pound classes, too.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, BJ Penn. I'm very interested to see him on TV. And I'm interested to see him fight Frankie Edgar. I'm going to be wondering why Frankie took the fight the whole time. But this is a guy, too. A lot of guys make careers when they get to coach the Ultimate Fighter, especially when they already have some name going in. Frankie Edgar is certainly one of those guys at this point.
Well, and I think that's a good point in that after this season with Rousey and Miesha Tate, it'll be interesting to see how much interest there is. There was a ton of interest, as you alluded to in the first segment when we talked about Uriah Hall. There was a ton of interest in the Ultimate Fighter following the Sonnen season.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And then we get to Uriah Hall being in the UFC, and he's kind of lackluster. Kevin Gastelum is the real deal, obviously, but the guy that we all looked to see shine fell flat, and Kelvin is still working on getting that fan base. But we now have men and women in this house, so we essentially will have two different fights at the end of this. It will be interesting to see if Rousey and Tate's stock goes up, not that Rousey needs her stock to go up, but goes up after the coaching, because the coaching can have a pretty big impact on your career in the UFC, as it has for Sonnen, who can pretty much call whatever fight he wants and show up whenever he wants to fight whomever he wants, because he's that guy who does whatever they ask him to.
I think he could have done that, though, before Ultimate Fighter. Now, the one thing with Sonnen is we got to see a side of Sonnen we never saw before, which was very interesting to see, and that's what I'm wondering more about BJ Penn. Are we going to see that kind of breakthrough
BJ Penn coached in 2007, right?
You're asking me about the Ultimate Fighter?
Hold on. I believe he's
Standby. But it's what?
Coached in season 5.
BJ Penn, are we going to get his coach?
Yes. So he coached in Ultimate Fighter 5, and then 14 of them later he will be back.
Okay. So, well, good for him.
Yes. So, see, there you go. So,
and that's where he, well, he, and he beat Jens Pulver after that season,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And that was obviously Jens not at his best,
that's
and starting
Jen's
that
not,
downward slide.
Yeah, that's Jen's not at Jen's level, if you will. And another fight that was announced, UFC on Fox 9. It looks like we all might be wrong on this show. Anthony Pettis could defend his belt against TJ Grant. And you will see Uriah Faber and Michael McDonald as the next one up for 135, it appears.
What do you mean? I said this fight was going to happen.
I thought you were the one that was on our team that thought that TJ Grant would never get the shot.
No,
that Aldo would just be like, I fight everybody.
No, I said I really like the timing of everything for Anthony Pettis, and TJ Grant wasn't doing anything, and I said he should wait for the shot because it should be coming soon. And it looks like it might be at UFC on Fox 9.
UFC on Fox 9.
When is that one?
Do we have a date?
UFC yet? On Fox 9. Live from where? I don't know if that matters. But UFC on Fox 9. I like the timing of this.
December 14th. It will be in Sacramento.
I said December, January. When don't paint me in with you and your friends on the show.
It was not
the one with all the bad UFC rankings.
My voting friends did not help me with that decision, actually. So December 14th, it looks like it's going to be Pettis and Grant. Not official. The one that is official is Uriah Faber and Michael McDonald, which will be a title eliminator. So,
and which means we're getting the title fight because Dana's gotten a lot smarter about setting these cards up. He and Joe Silva with fighters near the same weight so that if they have to swap anybody out, we don't lose a card.
Absolutely.
And maybe you'll be right. This could be Pettis Faber. Anybody gets hurt.
They're not even in the same weight class, but that would be exciting.
Hey, you wait.
All right.
You wait.
Everything you said has come true, which is why I think we should take you off the show.
Well, you got scared.
When we come back, GSP and Hendricks are in the news. This story, I'm warning you, is very confusing. We will try and break it down as best we can next at Way of the Warrior.
Of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans. And as we've been saying all show, Sean Desai has essentially quit the show. He has vacated the belt of co-host, and we have replaced him with Silent Henan Barrow as the interim co-host until Sean is ready to defend the seat.
Good.
Yes. And as usual, the show is available on the Fight Fans Radio Network, part of the iHeartRadio Talk platform, and brought to you by the fine folks at Gun Lake Casino and Onnit Supplements, onnit.com. Ken and I both taking Alpha Brain at different points in the day, so that might explain why sometimes the show is really, really good, and sometimes it might be a little bit fragmented because we probably didn't take our Alpha Brain.
What?
You can get that online at onnit.com. onnit.com. So I'm sad that Sean isn't here because this is his favorite part.
Oh, yeah, he loves this segment.
This is the favorite thing ever.
This week in George St. Pierre.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Am I afraid of you, man? Are you crazy in the head, man?
Let me tell you something, uneducated fool.
This week in George St. Pierre.
We all know that George's next fight is against Johnny Hendricks, and we all know that at one point George said, hey, man, let's do VADA. VADA. Why?
Voluntary Anti-Doping Association.
Yes. And so this is important because there's going to be another agency that comes into the story in just about a second. So there was some discrepancy that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around between the payment. It appeared that VADA sponsors George St. Pierre so that they were going to pay for his testing so he didn't have to pay for anything. But Hendricks' camp was going to have to pay, which became sticking point number one.
Well, the initial belief by the Hendricks' camp is that VADA was going to take care of all the testing for both fighters.
And it turned out not to be true, right?
Right. George invited Hendricks to participate with him, which I think was a good thing. I think in these high-level fights, this is where we're going to start to see what a lot of people are calling for, which is essentially year-round testing if you're an active UFC fighter. You can't cycle on and off, which a lot of people talk about. You can't be off the drugs only before your fights, but
sure,
every other time around, you know when you can do them and when you can't do them, unless you're Alistair Overeem, then you forget. Apparently you don't own a calendar.
Horse is very tasty, so it's
so
hard to stop.
What George St. Pierre invited Johnny Hendricks to do is go into testing with him. Politically, this is one of those moves where, you know, both guys can come out looking like winners. They'll both agree to testing. It's a title fight, so a lot of people like the fact that the challenger and the champion are doing the testing with VADA and that they will be basically tested essentially from the moment they agree to the fight all the way through the fight. There's no cycling on and off
right
as you do your training. There was discrepancy, though. This was originally supposed to be paid for both fighters. Then they're going to give Johnny Hendricks a discount. They're going to take part of it, and obviously the NSAC, the Nevada State Athletics Commission, I'm trying to say all these because we got a
right
lot of letters floating
yes
around here, also will accept their testing, but they don't seem to have any problem with the fact that VADA is going to sponsor GSP and pay for all of his testing and not the other fighter, which does seem to me like a bit of a conflict of interest.
But then Hendricks' camp goes, hey, Keith Kaiser and the Nevada Athletic Commission, can we use WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency that they use in the Olympics? And Kaiser's like, sure, we use them all the time. They come highly recommended. We can totally do that. And so Hendricks goes, hey, George, I know you're with these guys, but let's use these instead because we can get past this dumb payment thing. And
we don't have to worry about conflict of interest by having an organization that wants to
sponsor
you,
and not sponsor me. And they deal with the Olympics, so they know what they're doing. And the UFC has said, hey, this is cool. And this is the point where we need to separate the fighters from their management, because this was from the point of this story that you're hearing my voice. This is not the voice of George or the voice of Johnny Hendricks. This is their two managers slash lawyers slash whomever talking on their behalf.
Some of this is very specifically assigned to George St. Pierre because he's very specific in some of these regards. And we'll hit on that as we try to move through this.
But as I understand it, there's a conference call where Keith Kaiser steps through how WADA, W-A-D-A, is going to work as opposed to VADA, V-A-D-A. So know that there are two differences. Voluntary versus World. So if we're going to the World, Keith Kaiser has this conference call. Here's how it works. Here's who's going to do what. Here's how the testing is going to work. He seems to feel that everybody is in agreement and understanding, and the conference calls end, and then we start to get these emails from George's camp asking very odd, specific questions about what do they test for? When do they test for them? How do I know that they're going to test me for them and when they're going to test me, and what are the tests like? Questions that should have been handled on a conference call but now are handled in an email that you can find on our Facebook page because Keith Kaiser has been kind enough to provide the email chain so you can see his questions. And he said when he got to the point that he called, quote, unquote, 20 questions, he threw his hands up and said, forget it.
Okay, and I find this interesting. I haven't had a chance to go all the way through, and we discussed this some. I think I'm with George St. Pierre on this one and his camp, because you've got a couple different things at play. If you use VADA testing, essentially, if something goes wrong, you have to deal with bad publicity. If you use WADA testing, you can have the results of your bout changed. You're the world champion. You are entering an agreement with an agency you've never worked with before. You are entering an agreement with an agency that has a working relationship with the NSAC, which they should.
Sure.
I'm not saying they shouldn't, but this relationship also will give the NSAC power to then make rulings over your bout because of test results. Again, you could lose your belt because they're testing for something you don't understand, or they're doing something in the process you don't understand. It really is night and day. And we would all just like to say, George, why don't you just test? Well, they don't want to give him a list of what's banned. They don't want to tell him exactly when they're going to test him. They don't want to do a lot of things that he's used to with VADA, and his belt is on the line here in this situation. Don't you think it's fair for a fighter to be able to ask, shut up, Keith Kaiser, 20 questions, you put your hands up? It's your damn job. Answer the questions, figure it out for him.
Okay, so let's use your logic, and George St. Pierre is used to VADA and how VADA works, and guess who isn't used to VADA and how VADA works? Johnny Hendricks.
No.
How is this fair to him?
I don't know if it's even necessarily fair to him, but as the challenger, he certainly doesn't have as much protect and
but
as much
looks,
to worry about as George St. Pierre in his camp.
But he looks just as bad if he says, no, I'm not going to do VADA. You know, he tried to do the right thing, and he couldn't, so he found something that worked with him that he was familiar with, that Olympics, a sport and an agency that George has talked a lot about wanting to do at some point.
And they work with NSAC, and I understand. I really do understand both fighters' point of views. And I'm upset because this won't happen because of both fighters' point of views. But you have two fighters here. I'm just not sure, and this goes beyond George St. Pierre. This goes back to VADA. You know what? If this is an opportunity in a world title fight with one of the biggest fighters on the planet, why don't you pay for both guys? Why don't you just pay for both guys and be done with it and take out any concerns that they may have? Because
sure.
I feel like if this wouldn't have come up and this wouldn't have been that initial fly in the ointment, we would have just seen them both tested because they agreed to it with the pricing.
And Johnny has said that. Like, look, if this wasn't a thing, but I'm not a champion.
He's not George St. Pierre. You know, $25,000 and possibly more for testing, which is what some of these numbers have said. That's a lot. That's somebody's salary for that camp.
Yeah,
that,
well,
that's somebody you have to cut off your roster.
And I think a lot of people, and this is why I love having you on the show, because you have the business sense of this down pat, is a lot of people forget that when you're in a title fight and the belt isn't around your waist, it doesn't mean you're balling out of control.
Oh, no. You're not Floyd Money Mayweather by any means, even in the UFC, and you're in a title fight. This is a guy who this money would essentially come out of pocket. I don't understand how VADA doesn't just pay for him. This would be, if my understanding is right, this would be their first world title fight that they could have both fighters voluntarily testing in their program.
Which is a huge deal. And not only that, it comes out of his pocket. But if Johnny Hendricks beats George St. Pierre on that night, it's not as if they're going to hand him $1 million that night. It's not as if Gatorade sponsors him the next morning or Nike sponsors
him
the next morning.
His money is still his money that he makes that night, win or lose, essentially. He's going to have a win bonus. But, yeah, you're right. Is he going to pick up a sponsorship here or there? Is something going to happen?
Sure.
Maybe, but that 20 grand counts as 20 grand. This isn't us living in the world of make-believe where these fighters, like you said, for lack of a better term, balling during their camp. Now, two things. Or two entities here I think could have helped this. VADA, I mentioned. I'm curious why UFC maybe didn't step up to the plate. And I'm not a guy that's going to slam them and say, you should be, they take the risk. Fighter salaries are what they are. They're gradually coming up. The lower-end guys make a lot more than lower-end boxing guys do.
Yep.
But really, this could have been an instance where maybe they could have stepped up to the plate to pay for both testing. I don't know where conflict of interest comes in there. I don't want to speak to that.
But okay, so let's say we do that. And Dana does that thing. And Dana has been known to do that occasionally, where out of nowhere he just makes a problem disappear, right? Comes in, pays for that thing. But if he starts down that road...
No, and you're certainly... Then are they committing to other fights? Why didn't they pay for the next fight?
Wouldn't they have to?
And then the fighters don't want to agree to that. They could put some other fighters in a tough position. Because, again, this isn't a requirement. This isn't a rule of the sport. This isn't something that's required by law or by regulation. So you could all of a sudden be putting your other fighters in tough spots that are saying, look, I don't like this VADA testing. Do you want your world champion? And I don't want to even say a name because I don't want to put anybody in a corner. Do you want one of your other world champions to look bad because they don't want to do this? And your UFC, probably not.
And reset for a second why some guys might not like VADA.
They might not like VADA because of the access that VADA requires.
It
depends on who you ask, honestly, Eric. And that's what I think some of these questions are. A lot of guys say it's unfettered access. It's unfettered access during a certain time. Is it going to be year-round? Well, how active do I have to be as a fighter? Essentially, my understanding of the situation is they want access all the time, which I think WADA essentially does as well.
Yes, but I've always heard Roy Nelson did a great interview with Ariel Helwani where they talked a little bit about this, that one of the things that fighters hate is that these guys show up while they're sleeping.
They're going to show up. Yeah, they could show up. They essentially require unfettered access.
They show up when you're training. They show up, they don't necessarily show up when you would expect them, obviously the point of the testing, but they also... It seems to me from a fighter's perspective, now I've never been tested by them, so I'm not speaking on behalf of what they do, but from a fighter's perspective, that they show up to be inconsiderate on purpose.
Well, and again, that's probably the point of this type of testing. There's a lot of guys that don't want to have blood taken when they're in the middle of training because apparently they take a decent amount of blood and they could do that a couple of times during your camp. There's quite a few reasons, and there may be reasons where guys, hey, I'm using this, this, and this when I'm not training, when I'm not coming up to a fight, and I don't feel like I shouldn't be able to. Because, again, I'm not even going to blame a guy. If it's not in the rules or in the regulations and you're not testing outside of that fight window, I've said this to Sean before, and we've talked about it for things as simple as when you see a guy put a hand on the ground. If it's not against the rules or the regulations and that's how you become a fighter and you know that thing, you can't have a referee say the night of, you put your hand on the ground, I'm not calling the foul.
Sure.
Well, I think that is a foul, and it's in the rules like that. Right now in the rules, we're going to test you when you're coming up on a fight, but otherwise when you're training year-round, you can essentially do what you want. A lot of fighters aren't going to change that unless somebody says they have to, and they're not going to want to take a test simply because the UFC picks up the check. I just wanted to kind of lay that out there because I knew we were going to probably get comments and we were going to get people saying, no, why didn't the UFC just pick up the bill? There's a lot of things the UFC has to think about when they do it. Do I think they could have gotten away with it and not force those other fighters into a corner? Probably. But do they even want to take that risk at this point with these other fighters?
Well, and at what point, Ken, does that cross a line?
Dana, what are we paying for? Yeah.
Well, not only that, but Dana will say a lot of times that, you know, you can bitch about the refs and you can bitch about the judges, but I don't have any control over them for a reason. And so when you pay for this test, you've stepped into a realm that you need to not be in.
And this may be a simple answer, and we may, you know, talking out of our behinds on occasion on the show, there may be a simple rule that says promoter can't do it.
Sure.
I would not be surprised. Why? Do you want a promoter in charge of your testing? Remember, we talked about Floyd Mayweather before, earlier in the show. I mean, he's done this a couple times where he's wanted testing, and there's usually this part of the discussion. Well, if Floyd's paying for it, how can I trust it? And that's kind of what you've got in this situation. If the company that's paying for George is doing it but not paying for me, how can I trust those guys? Johnny Hendricks has a valid point. I think George St. Pierre has a lot to lose and doesn't want to walk into a world title fight with a company he's not familiar with, and I would probably be even more nervous when Keith Kaiser comes out and goes, I don't know, they asked a lot of questions, so I got tired of answering those questions. How about no? I'm not doing that. You're a commission? You got tired of answering questions? What do you do with your days, really?
Well, I'm
sure he's busy enough, but come on. You have a world champion that's asking questions.
I guess his point was not so much that there's some arbitrary number in 20 that he stops answering your questions. I think his point is that if we have set up a time to meet and discuss this, and when that meeting and discussion is over and everyone, hey, are you good with this? Ken says, yes. Silent Hen and Burrow, are you good with this? And Silent Hen and Burrow says, yes, I'm good with this. And then we hang up and immediately you start emailing questions that you should have asked in the conference call, it begins to make you, maybe not George, but certainly makes you look like you have something to hide.
And I'm not oblivious to the fact that certainly they could just be trying to barrage him with questions and make this a situation where they don't want it to work. I'm not saying that's not the case.
Sure.
But I don't really care if you did a conference call already and you're upset that they didn't ask in the conference call. How many meetings do you and I go into and we come out later like, we should have asked these 10 questions, but we were in a meeting. We just want to leave.
But they don't test us at those.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. Good. It's a good thing they don't test us for booze. That's the only way we get through half the meetings here at the Way of the Warrior compound.
Yes, it is for sure.
All right. Can we take a break so I can drink?
Yes.
All right.
Go get a drink. We'll be back. When we come back, more news. We'll talk about Matt Grice. If you've not been paying attention to the situation, he and his family probably need your help. We'll talk about it next on Way of the Warrior.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans. Sean Dazay has quit the show. He was at one point on the show and has decided he will travel to every city on planet Earth save for Grand Rapids, Michigan, which makes it hard for him to be on the show. So for this week and this week only, interim co-host is Silent Hen and Brow, as we are now calling Sean Dazay, the Dominic Cruz of Way of the Warrior.
Yeah, he's gone. We don't know when he's coming back.
We have no idea when he's coming
back.
We're
hopeful he will.
That said, speaking of Dominic Cruz, he has a fight scheduled for Hennen Burrell early 2014, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, with a stipulation. And that is, if he cannot make this fight, we get our resolution. He has to vacate the belt. The belt is done. If he doesn't make this fight with Hennen Burrell, Dominic Cruz is no longer the champion at that weight class.
And who said this? Is it Dominic who's actually
Dana
said it?
White.
Dana
said
White
that,
has said it.
You know, we have set this fight up, and if you don't make this fight, look, we've got to make a decision. It's been 2 years. Enough is enough.
Well, 24 months. Way to drop the hammer, Dana. Let you be champ for 2 years.
Right.
He hasn't fought in so long, his wiki picture is still the WEC belt. Like, nobody can get an approved picture of him with the UFC belt because he hasn't fought in so long.
And some sad news, over the weekend, UFC fighter, his second stint in the UFC, Matt Grice, was off duty and critically injured in a car accident in Oklahoma. He was hit from behind, went into surgery, and remains hospitalized. They have set up a donation for him. We'll post that on our Facebook page, but as we said when it happened, our prayers go out to he and his family. It's a horrible situation, and certainly something that, you know, getting rear-ended in a multi-car accident is something you can't simply prepare for. So we hope he gets a speedy recovery and gets back. But that donation, if you are so inclined, is on our Facebook page at Way the Warrior on Facebook.
Yeah, just tragic situation. Nothing really to add there. Just keeping him in our thoughts.
And Dana White said last week that Stefan Struve probably would never fight again. Stefan Struve said this week that has never entered his mind. Even with a tear in his heart, he feels that he's going to make it back into the UFC, which I think is...
Is that the fighting spirit or is that idiocy?
Yeah, I would lean towards idiocy. I just think at some point you this, we talked about this in segment one. You know, these are not sports for you to do until you're 70.
Mm-mm.
I mean, for
golf, go golf, guys.
Yeah, exactly. For all intents and purposes, none of them are, save for golf. You're not playing football till you're 50. You may play baseball till you're 40, but you're certainly not fighting till you're 40 unless you're Randy Couture. You know, it's just not a regular thing, and so you need to prepare for that. And when stuff like this comes up, I just think what your body goes through in a fight, it's pretty important that you don't have holes in your heart.
Yeah. Again, nothing to add there. Jeez.
Seems pretty vital.
We'll see. I mean, maybe Stefan Struve was hopefully taking a more wait-and-see attitude on, is this really as bad as it seems? If it is as bad as it seems, please, Stefan, retire. Don't show up in other agency or organization in Japan.
The only bonus of this is that you know that if he's not cleared, he won't be cleared in the UFC. Whether or not he goes to Japan or something like that remains to be seen, but our hopes is that he heals and lives a long and happy life. If you need anything over the weekend, follow us on Twitter, at Wow Show, as well as on Facebook. Canelo and Mayweather on Saturday night. Look for Twitter to explode right around probably 11:45 Eastern time, I'm guessing.
A little later.
12:15.
He'll take all 12 rounds.
12:15. All right. We'll see you next week. It's Way of the Warrior.